Hi everyone, I just wanted to let you know that we recently upgraded our software and there seems to be a bit of a problem with the recording on my vocal track, so it's a little bit echoey and maybe a bit distracting. I apologize, I am working on a fix and hopefully it'll only affect another episode or two.
Good for us, we're awesome. Hooray!
Welcome to Geeks Without God with Tim Wick, Nick Glover, and Molly Glover.
We're geeks, we're geeks, we're geeks without God.
This week on Geeks Without God, we are talking about the holidays for 2020. What are you doing for Thanksgiving and Christmas in COVID times? We're going to talk about how we're dealing with our families. Ugh.
We're geeks. We're geeks. We're geeks without God. We're geeks. We're geeks. We're geeks without God. We're geeks. Geeks without God.
Welcome to Geeks Without God. I'm your host, Tim Wick. I am joined, as always, by my co-host, Nick Glover.
Pew, pew, pew.
And Molly Glover.
I am having headphone struggles.
I could see that. I could see that because we were doing this on video as well as audio. Still recording in quarantine due to the COVID. And we are going to talk. We haven't talked about COVID in a while, and we are sort of in a roundabout way going to talk about it today because this week is Thanksgiving week here in the United
dun,
States.
Dun, dun.
And then shortly after Thanksgiving, super shortly, but coming relatively quickly after Thanksgiving is Christmas. These are two major holidays in which families gather in the same place. And yet, I'm not sure if you heard, we are still under a pandemic and the infection rate is rising. The hospitalization rate is rising and the death rate is rising right now.
Yep.
All of those things are happening, and they're all in the news in spite of the fact that the election is over, which is weird because I remember somebody telling me it was all going to go away as soon as the election was over, but it's not.
Weird.
It's not. So we're going to talk about navigating family gatherings during a holiday in which I'm just going to come out and say, y'all shouldn't be getting together.
No, yeah. Absolutely not.
You don't owe anyone your attendance for these things, certainly not at the cost of your own safety and health.
And to be perfectly frank, if you, like me, I should preface this. My family's being amazing. We are not getting together. That said, if you, like me, have a family that tends to be a little bit guilt trippy, and tends to make kind of outrageous claims like, I'm going to take you out of the will if you don't do things they want. Don't listen. Honestly, they will get over it. I know some people who are saying things like, well, if I don't go to Christmas, my mom will never forgive me. Well, she will. I mean, honestly, she will. And if she doesn't, that's sad. And that's on her. You can't make someone decide to forgive you or not. That is, you really, it is the responsible thing for all people to be staying in your homes as much as possible right now.
Absolutely. I agree. And so, with Thanksgiving coming up, what we've been talking about with Pat's mom, who can be a bit of a challenge about such things. We had to have a conversation. Her birthday is on Halloween, so Halloween is very important to her, and she was trying to figure out a way that the whole family could get together outside to have a pizza party for her birthday. But, of course, the forecast for Halloween was it was going to be super cold. And we kind of said, it's not going to happen, which was a difficult conversation to have. She's like, it's my birthday. And what we had to say was, look, this year was Pat's 50th birthday. Pat's 50th birthday happened about 2 weeks after we went into deep lockdown, and it sucked.
Hi. I had a 42nd birthday and was very excited about it, and we didn't get to, couldn't do anything. Like, everyone had a birthday this year.
it's like you're not fucking unique. Everybody's birthday sucked this year.
It's so every few years, my mom's birthday actually falls on Thanksgiving. This year, her birthday is Black Friday. It's also her 60th birthday.
Mm-hmm.
I know my two teenage sister siblings aren't going to do shit. They're teenagers.
Yeah.
They're 15 and 19. They're not good for anything.
They might get a card.
Right. Yeah, it's a card. Maybe one of them.
Yeah.
And I mean, we've been trying to figure out, like, we've already said we're not doing Thanksgiving. We're going to do that separately. We got the family on board with that. But we're trying to figure out, like, how do you celebrate this milestone birthday for someone while being safe? And, you know, my mom has a little portable fire pit, and Molly and I and my brother and his wife are going to all stay like 12 feet away from each other with this fire in between us and say hey and happy birthday and drop off presents and stuff and maybe go for a walk around the lakes.
But for what, for what it's worth, Heather is a reasonable human being, and I don't believe that applies to Pat's mom.
I don't think she was assuming we were going to do anything.
Yeah.
We wanted to do something special, and I feel like getting together, even outdoors and responsibly, is something special because we're making an exception to see someone in the middle of a fucking pandemic. That's special.
So, yeah, for her birthday, what she wanted to do was bring us cupcakes. And we're like, okay, you can bring us cupcakes. Sure. And you can leave them on the porch. But what did she do? She rang the doorbell and insisted on coming inside. And
we're like,
no, the bubble for us is us and my mom, because I go out and I do the shopping for everybody. I bring my mom her stuff. So mom's part of our bubble. My mom will be with us on Thanksgiving because she's.
And that is a bubble.
That's a bubble.
Two households can be a bubble.
Two households can be a bubble.
That's about it.
Two households without, like, people physically going to work all the time kids going to school all the time. Yep. Like,
It's the best. It's as good as we're going to do, and we're not going to do any better because Pat's brother is not very good when it comes to following protocols. Mm-hmm. His daughters... he has shared custody between him and their mother, who's a terrible person, and it's a long story. But the point is, between all those people, we don't have the slightest fucking clue what they're doing.
Right. And if you asked, you can't be sure they would tell the truth.
Right. So we won't go anywhere near them. But Pat's mom will go and hang out with them. So we're like, nope, our bubbles don't get to mingle. It's not going to happen. And so we're trying to work out how does everybody have, quote, Thanksgiving dinner together, because that's what Pat's mom really wants. Except Pat's brother, well, no, she's like, we should all be apart eating together. So we're talking about, all right, well, we are willing to prepare the food at our house.
Okay.
And put prepared pans of food on the porch where her mom can pick them up and take them to various homes.
Sure.
But at the same time, her brother is going to Thanksgiving with his fiance's family, which is a shit ton of people.
Sure.
Okay. So it's like another reason we wouldn't want to be with them. But they're going to do it at regular Thanksgiving time. So now the question is, well, do we have our Thanksgiving early so they can have a Thanksgiving with us and a Thanksgiving with the other family? And our answer is, fuck no. One fucking Thanksgiving meal.
See, Tim, this is what happens. You give them an inch and you try to help them out and you try to, okay, well, we can do this safely. Well, what if we do it this way? Okay, we'll try to accommodate. And the people who don't give a fuck about the rules aren't going to suddenly start giving a fuck about the rules and what's right. They're going to just keep on pushing and pushing until everyone has it.
I'm interested to hear. So Governor Tim Walz here in Minnesota, just today, as of the day of this recording, put into place new restrictions. I have some issues with some of them, but one of them is for social gatherings, which are at your home, I guess, basically. So you can only have a maximum of three households represented, including the host.
Yeah.
And it is a limit of 10 people max. So I am interested to hear if your brother-in-law's fiance family still has this huge lots of people Thanksgiving, considering that sounds like it is in violation of the...
Basically unenforceable.
I know it's unenforceable, but you bring it up. Yeah. The whole point of it is that people should be smart and be like, why is this the rule? Yeah. Clearly we shouldn't do it.
I'm virtually positive it will not meet the criteria, but... You know, and the frustrating thing is all the things of, well, fine, we all want to have this meal together and Zoom, which I'm fine with, right? I'm fine with fucking having a Zoom, but I don't want to do it while we're fucking eating. I'm fine with, like, doing a half-hour Zoom. Yeah, it's like, let's all sit at a table and shove food into our mouths for a half an hour. Isn't that fucking exciting?
And also, like, how are you going to be, where's the camera going to be? So that you, the four of you in your house, or the five with your mom, are going to sit at a table. Are you going to, you're going to get a webcam on a stick and put it in a bucket of sand? Like, seriously, what is happening with this?
I hadn't thought about that.
How are you even doing that? Like, my family at first was like, we could all do Zoom together for that. I'm like, where are we going to eat that we can all be on camera? How are you and how is your family of six, Kevin, going to do that, right? Like, it just, it's a nice idea in theory, but, like, I think everyone having a meal on your own, getting together for the Zoom call, I mean, like, if it's about family, do the thing where you get on Zoom and everyone says one thing they're thankful for.
Yeah.
Classic Minnesota Thanksgiving, right? Yeah. Like, or like, every family bakes a pie and you do, like a Secret Santa or like a gift swap, but it's a pie swap. So sure. It's like, oh, Tim gets, you know, this family and this family gets the other one. And then you all just swap pies and there, that's fun.
I saw someone saying that they were going to, they're going to make like four of the same hot dish.
Sure.
And they're not going to cook it. They'll just have it pre-made and saran wrapped.
Yep.
And they'll give the three out to the rest of their family with the instructions on how to heat it. And then, you know, other families are going to do similar thing with sides or mashed potatoes or whatever. And then each family is going to make their own smaller bird.
Yeah.
And it's like, there you go. You can have your traditional, like, everyone has like a signature dish sometimes, you know?
Right.
That way you can do that. But,
well, and that's what we were talking about is, like, we will take care of getting all the signature dishes and put it in a pan and everybody can have their family Thanksgiving that we've always had.
But eating at the same time is crazy.
Yeah, who gives a fuck? That's my thing is who cares?
Yeah.
Who cares?
We're
not going to be together. It's just that's the way it has to be. And it sucks, but it sucks for everybody equally.
I feel like, and I know I say this a lot, but you can really tell that a lot of people in America have never had something taken away from them for reasons they could not get around. Like, for example, I spent the Halloween of 2007 in a mental hospital. That sucked. I love Halloween. I love going to parties. I love doing costumes. It's one of my favorite things in the whole year, and I didn't get to do it. Oh, well, life moves on. Like, I just, you get over it.
You know, is it part of it? You think it's a part of, like, convenience culture where like, you can order something on Amazon and have it delivered right away. You have all your TV on demand. There's nothing stopping you from getting the things that you want. It's so all kind of on demand. Do you think we're all just kind of very accustomed to having maybe what we want to have?
Yeah,
there's also just the selfish aspect of you can't even get people to wear a fucking mask for somebody else's benefit.
Yeah.
Right? I think too, people is so like I my mom once accused me of not caring about traditions or caring about things as much as other people, and that I was, you know, a little cold. I am not. The thing is, I understand that there are circumstances that are beyond your control. And so, like, if I'm having a 40th birthday party, let's say, or I'm having a party and I want everyone to be there, and someone's like, I can't be there because I already have tickets to go to Disney World, let's say, I'm not going to be like, you selfish cow. I can't believe you won't cancel your vacation for my birthday party. Like, so my birthday is ruined? Thank you, I guess, you know, like, but there are people out there who feel that way.
Yeah.
And so, like, to me, I've never felt entitled to anything. I feel like I was raised to not feel entitled to things. And people seem to feel entitled to having Thanksgiving exactly the way they want it, to have Christmas the way they've always done it with zero changes. You know, what happens if someone in your family gets divorced? Do they, and now you don't get to do things. And, oh, but she always made the pies. Well, you got divorced and she's not here. She's not coming. You got to pivot,
make the fucking
right?
Pies. Somebody else
you
has to make
pivot.
The fucking pies.
I just don't understand how people are so incapable of fucking pivoting for one goddamn year. It's 1 year. Like all these people who talked a big game about like, oh, back in World War II, oh, everyone made sacrifices. Oh, everyone made, oh, they didn't even have metal and nobody had sugar or yeast and like all the stuff that went to the war effort, romanticizing that. Yeah, they romanticize that. But as soon as there's even like a whisper of having to give anything up, we're like, no.
Yeah, well, we're not fighting fascism right now, Molly. I mean, right. Actually, yeah. We are. But
yeah, we're fighting something worse. It kills more indiscriminately.
Yeah.
Same motherfuckers that'll like go sit in a deer blind for 20 hours and cover themselves in dough piss
and pee in a coffee can.
Yeah, but like they can't wear a fucking N95 mask to go grocery shopping because it'll, I don't know, make their dick fall off. Like,
that
shit bothers me so much. It's so fucking selfish.
Yeah. And so anyway, getting back to the holidays and Thanksgiving, you know, I think that it's like you shouldn't be getting together.
No.
Unless you have a two-household bubble, like I say. I don't have a problem getting together with my mom. I see her every week.
Sure.
And she doesn't have a problem getting together with us. There is still a risk, but it's a risk we have chosen to accept.
We don't have a bubble. It's just us. We don't have anybody that we socialize with. Nobody in my family. My family's a goddamn sieve. They cannot be trusted. Right. I love them dearly, but there's too many of them, and they're always getting together, and they're all inside without their masks on, and they all seem to think that if they're not symptomatic, it isn't a problem.
They all wear masks in public.
Oh yeah, they're anti-maskers.
They all do their best to socially distance. But the thing about, I joked about this a week or two ago, the thing about Molly's family, and I'm sure a lot of families in the holidays, is that people fucking shout over one another when there's a lot of people in the room, or when it's the holidays and
we drink
and people get, you know, laugh and are full of mirth and all that. And if you look at the particle data for people speaking, if you're singing or shouting
or laughing
or projecting and laughing, you're going to spread so much more.
And if you drink, you get lax in all behaviors. Yeah. That's just the thing. Like we went to a party in the summer that was completely outdoors. And at the beginning, everyone was wearing their masks and everyone was keeping their distance from each other. And it was very good. And then it was like, okay, it's time to eat. And we all kind of were like, okay, we should take our masks off to eat. Right. And it was like, yeah, yeah. And so people were taking their masks off to eat. And then everyone was done eating, so people weren't putting their masks back on. And then it was time to have a cigarette. And then it was, I'll have another drink. And then mask, you know, and everyone was pushing together to watch a video on someone's phone. And as we got back into the social patterns of how life used to feel, it felt so good that you no one wanted to be the asshole who was like, oh, we can't do that.
It's peer pressure. It's unconscious. Subtle peer pressure. Yep.
It's super easy to do. And the other thing that happens, I think, is we all want to trust our family, right? You know,
unless you're friends.
Unless you're looking at like Pat's brother and going, I can't trust him. But, you know, we want it to, when we're close with our family, we want to be like, well, they're fine. They're maintaining their bubble and we'll all be fine together for this one time. With evidence showing that that's not actually true. That when you make that decision, we're all going to trust each other. What happens is one person shows up and they're infected, and now everybody's infected.
Or it can be an inconvenience beyond anybody getting infected, which I don't think people understand. Is, for example, I did a live stream for work. It was one of the only times I've been out of the house. We go to stores, but we're never in a store for more than 20 minutes, right? Mm-hmm. So this was the longest I'd been in close contact with somebody who wasn't Nick. And we were sitting about a foot apart, not even, maybe 6 inches apart around a table, because we're all in the same live stream. Everyone's masked, we're using hand sanitizer. And sure enough, like the day or two after the live stream, one of the people who was there was like, my roommate tested positive for COVID.
And boom, and so now we all had quarantine. 1 degree.
So now we all had to quarantine. She went and got a test and we waited for her test results, you know, and luckily she was negative, but still like, everyone immediately had to go on lockdown. And if you weren't ready for it, it could be a really big inconvenience. Like what if you had a doctor's appointment you really needed to get to the next day? I mean, people aren't thinking about just that aspect.
Yeah.
And I'm really getting tired of everybody saying that it's got a 99% survivability rate when we know for a fact all these long-term health consequences that come from it.
Yeah.
It's that frustrates me.
So what about Christmas?
Yeah.
That, cause so, you know, that's going to happen too.
Yeah. And so we always, for us at least, we have, both of us have divorced parents. And so, we always end up having four Christmases, all together. I mean, basically, so it's always, we started doing last year was, going over to my brother's house, cause he's got the kids. He's the only one with kids in my family. Going over to my brother's house really early in the morning, Christmas morning, to get to do like stockings and stuff with the kids. Yeah. Cause that's like, for me, that's the most joy is watching little kids get excited about Santa, right?
Oh, that's the greatest.
But we spent Christmas Eve night with his mom having like grown-up cocktails and like grown-up appetizers and conversation, because his sisters are teenagers and his brother and his wife are adults like us. So it was an adult Christmas. And then we get together with his dad at some point, and then we get together with my dad and his wife at some point. My dad understands that it's, you know, he's got divorced dad mentality. He's like, yeah, I mean, it doesn't matter when we do Christmas. We'll do it on the 23rd or 26th or whatever.
It's kind of been that way since my parents got divorced.
Yeah. But so my dad also is invited to the McBride family Christmas. Like he and his wife still come to the big Christmas, like with the kids and everybody. This year, everyone is in agreement. We cannot get together.
They are?
Last I heard.
Okay, good.
Last I heard. And so the idea is just trying to figure out how to make it good for the kids. Like how to still give the kids Christmas, whether that, and my, I've had some ideas of, you know, maybe what we do is we schedule hour-long slots where we come over, and my brother's house has like insane 20-foot ceilings in their main living room area. Like it's crazy. So like for ventilation and everything, if we were masked indoors and staying away from each other, I would feel comfortable being in there for about 20 minutes and it wouldn't really be that big of a problem. So maybe we spend 20 minutes, we bring the kids their gifts. They get to open their gifts. You know, we don't hug, but we say Merry Christmas and everything. And then we leave, and that gives them 20 minutes or so to clean.
Yeah.
If they feel the need to, or spray things down with Lysol, and then the next household comes over and does the same thing. Cause like we're all grown-ups, and if there's a grown-up in my family who's like, but my presents, they can go fuck themselves.
Right.
We are grown-ups. We can buy each other presents and wrap them and deliver them.
Have Amazon fucking gift wrap it for you and
whatever, man. Like whatever. It's 1 year. We're gonna skip 1 year.
One thing Molly and I just decided to do the other night to kind of celebrate Christmas together.
Which we don't usually do. Which, just the two of
right.
us.
We don't usually have our own Christmas. We usually kind of, I mean, we might give each other presents and stuff separate from everyone else.
Four fucking Christmases,
but,
man.
But yeah, we have a lot of fucking Christmases. So this year, to have some like tradition and have some fun, we are picking out stockings for each other. So, and these are going to be to some degree, I don't want to say unique, but we're going to do something nice for stockings. Yeah. I'm going to pick out a stocking for Molly. She'll pick out a stocking for me, and we'll fill the stockings and we'll hang them with care, and we won't see the stocking that's for us until
Christmas morning.
Until the Christmas morning.
Well, that's neat.
Yeah.
That's a good idea.
And that way we can, I don't know, it's tradition. It's a little bit of that, you know, Christmas magic, if you will.
Yep.
There's some surprise in there, but it's nothing over the top. It's nothing crazy. It's nothing with other people.
Yep.
It's nice and simple.
Yeah. And obviously, like, we're also going to do, we're planning on doing Zoom calls with family members. Same with Thanksgiving. Zoom calls and, you know, FaceTiming with the kids and checking in just to see how everyone's doing. But honestly, like,
I'll call my dad on his landline.
Oh, my God. What about your family? What are you guys thinking?
Well, I mean, we don't have four Christmases. We don't have four Christmases, but we do have. Christmas Eve is kind of a friend Christmas where we have friends over and we do this big fondue meal.
Oh, the worst of all things to have it during COVID.
Yeah.
Right? Pot of cheese.
I know. Yeah. Well, it's actually like broth, the oil, not a cheese fondue, but nonetheless, it doesn't matter. What we're going to do is everybody's going to be at their own house, but we're going to have a Zoom fondue, sort of a shared experience. A friend of the show, Wendy Bowlesby, who's now in Texas, but her family has continued that Christmas Eve tradition. So they're going to join us. So we're kind of going to get the gang back together.
Yeah.
And that'll be nice. Pat and I haven't. We need to talk about what we want to do. That's maybe kind of a special thing, in terms of what's going to happen in our house.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Mom's going to come over on Christmas Day. That's usually what happens. Either we went over to her house or she comes over to ours. This year, she's actually moving into a new apartment. She's moving out of her house mid December, and moving into a senior living facility. She wants to do that.
Sure, but that increased, that changes her risk level pretty dramatically.
It does, although we're going to wait and see what the protocols there are.
Sure.
But in theory, she's going to come over to our house for Christmas. And then we'll do a family Christmas, but it's not going to be really demonstrably different, except that Pat's family isn't going to come over on Christmas Eve. That's just not going to happen. She's been pretty clear with her mom.
Yeah.
That's not what's going to happen. So not too many changes, but other than, you know, we're not going to have Pat's family involved, and we need to see how the situation is going to be with Mom's new facility, mm-hmm. because obviously they have talked a lot about how safe they're going to be keeping it within the building, but you kind of want to see how safe that really means.
I mean, and I guess it depends on it, how often is she in common areas? Is it like, it's an independent apartment that just happens to be in a senior building, I'm guessing.
It
right?
is an so independent apartment.
If she quarantines herself for the 2 weeks after, basically from when she moves in until she comes over for Christmas, you really don't have to worry too much.
Yeah.
As long as she isn't like accessing a lot of shared spaces.
Yeah. And she won't be, that's not who she is, especially mm-hmm. not in the middle of COVID.
Right. Right.
So I'm not too worried about that, but you know, it is something we're keeping an eye on, and we'll make a decision on that. But so for us, it doesn't change too much.
Yeah.
Fortunately, because we don't have that big family arrangement. But at the same time, we're also being really clear on we're not having our big group meal mm-hmm. together. Her family's not coming over.
I know Pat usually makes a shit ton of Christmas cookies
and
gives them out to people. Are you going to do that this year? Does that feel safe?
I think she's still going to make the Christmas cookies, but it's going to be, I don't think it's going to be as much. And, you know, if we deliver to people, it's going to be, well, we're going to drop them on your porch.
Sure. And if you drop them on the porch and they don't open it for a day, like that's probably fine. As long as she's washing her hands a lot. And honestly, if she wore a mask while she cooked, it would be even safer. You know, like there's ways around that. Like we've talked about if we're preparing a meal or preparing something, because we're for Heather's birthday, when we go over his mom, we're going to bring, I was thinking we could find a way to like bring individual cocktails, or like each person gets one of those little mini bottles of champagne and an individual plastic glass or something. And that's how we do a toast, you know, like just ways that we can be like, here, let me just, all of that will be here in the middle and you come and pick it up yourself. We did that for my sister's birthday. My mom just had a cooler of drinks available, and it was like, just go grab a beer, grab a wine, it was just everything was
outdoors, individual.
Obviously. Yes, outdoors.
Very, very spread out.
I haven't been inside anyone else's house since March.
Yeah.
Your house was the last person's house we went to.
Yeah, I think that's
right. That day we recorded.
Yeah. And I mean, I haven't been inside anybody else's house except my mom's since mm-hmm. March. But then we're going to keep it that way. And it has been a challenge keeping Nancy out of our house.
Yeah,
she really wants it.
Oh, you know what? I'm wrong. I guess I have gone into people's houses to use the bathroom at an outdoor party.
Yeah.
I don't know if that counts. It's not really the same. Yeah. I haven't gathered in anyone's house. No rehearsals, no parties, no meetings. That's weird.
So I have all this PTO, this vacation time for work to burn because they don't let us roll it over.
Right.
So I'm taking the last 2 weeks of the year off from work. For, you know, Christmas time, essentially. And what I've signed myself up for to use some of that time productively is oral surgery. I'm going to have my last two wisdom teeth pulled out.
Wow.
Three or four days before Christmas. So I figure, like, if I'm laid up with cotton packed in the sockets of my mouth to heal up after oral surgery, I'm not going to, like, miss Christmas food and like cookies and stuff as much.
That's
I know, just in time
thing.
For me to, just in time to, like, I was laughing because it was like, perfect, you'll have time to, like, help, to, like, help do all the cleaning and stuff that we would normally do before Christmas, like, oral surgery. I'm like, damn it.
I think the hardest thing for us is going to be we aren't going to be able to do a Drake's holiday show, which has been a really,
oh, yeah.
That's something that I think we're all going to miss. And I hope, you know, if by mid-year next year we've got a vaccine and we can do larger gatherings again, we might do a Drake's holiday show in July to make up for not being able to do it at Christmas.
But then would you do it again at Christmas?
I don't know. I don't know.
It probably like that's won't. The thing. Like, yeah, that makes it hard.
It's been. That's been the hardest part of this year. I mean, every part of this year has been hard, but the hardest part of this year is losing a band member just as the pandemic starts, and then basically having no time together to really do anything as a band and losing all of that. I mean, there's all sorts of hard parts of this year, but that was a really big challenge. And that's going to be the hardest part, I think, of the holidays for me is that that show really is when it felt like Christmas started.
Yeah, I get that.
And it's not going to happen.
Christmas is my favorite holiday. It's part of why that I refuse to let it be a Christian tradition whatsoever. It is 100% secular in my mind. And because it's everything that I celebrate about Christmas is pagan in its nature. Like the tree, the gifts, it's Saturnalia at best. You know, like it's not, I've never in my life celebrated the holy mass of Christ. Like that's not ever been my deal. So for me, Christmas, I love it. And I love decorating and I love going to people's houses for it. And I have all these fun Christmas outfits. Like I have tons of dresses and t-shirts and stuff that I would wear to work and everything. And so it's a bummer. I mean, I'm not going to lie. It really is disappointing to not get to do it. But like, I guess not to be all like, I guess I'm just better, but for real, like I don't understand how people can want to put their experience of this one fucking year over the prioritize that over anyone else's safety. Like,
in the name of tradition and nothing else.
And yeah, people, or even in the name of fun and getting to enjoy yourself, but still like, yeah, people don't die that much. But the thing is, if one, someone did, or two, almost worse, if you found out that now someone in your family has lifelong lung problems or lifelong heart problems or goes into kidney failure and now needs dialysis because they got COVID at your fucking party. Like, I don't understand how people can just prioritize that over. Yeah.
And once again, everybody's Christmas is going to suck to some extent this year. Everybody's got to make sacrifices. The people that don't make sacrifices are going to be the ones that are probably going to be spreading the disease. And so, you know, I guess wrapping it up before we go to five questions, I'd just say, you got to make the safe decisions. I hope that everybody who listens to our podcast is making safe decisions and doesn't get pressured into shit by your family.
Yeah, for real. I understand that as atheists, we feel a lot of pressure to go to church, to say grace, to, you know, all these things that maybe we've caved on just because like it's easier. It's just easier not to fight with my mom. It's just, you know, whatever. I understand that. This is not one of those times.
Yeah.
This is a time when you have the moral high ground.
Yeah.
You genuinely do to say, no, I'm not coming. And you guys can hate me for it. I hope you won't. But I'm not coming. And if they're going to make fun of you, they're going to make fun. They're probably going to make fun of you for being afraid of it anyway, if that's the case.
Yeah, if
right?
you show up to your family's party and you're wearing a mask, they're going to make fun of you anyway.
It's right. just
they're going to be assholes.
That's the kind of family you have. Yeah, just this is the year. It's hard to claim the moral high. I know we feel like we have it as atheists, you know, but it's hard to feel like, you know, this is the year you do have it. You genuinely
Absolutely.
Have it.
All right, so that's the holidays. Good luck. We are moving on to five questions.
Five questions.
Yeah. Five questions. What do we have, Molly?
We have five questions from Joshua Corwin.
Hello, Joshua.
This is the second set of five questions Joshua has sent us. So
send us more.
That Joshua's doing great on us on this here. All right, so question one. This is the music edition, by the way.
Okay, music edition.
And these questions are kind of sequential.
Okay.
I will warn you, your first answer will affect your other answers. Are you ready?
Okay.
Question one, what is your favorite genre of music? Everyone must commit to only one.
God damn you, Joshua. Ordering us around.
I'm going to go with classic rock.
Classic rock.
It's not, I want to say this is not my favorite genre, but I'm going with it for the purposes.
What do you define as classic rock? Like what?
60s, 70s.
60s, 70s. Okay.
60s, 70s.
Like acid rock. And,
Like it, stuff that was played on the oldies station when I was a kid in the 80s and the 90s.
Okay.
60s and 70s rock music.
All right.
That's what I'm going
to
say.
I want to say hip hop.
Hip hop.
Because, that's accurate.
All right.
I'm going to say Tim? 90s alternative.
I almost went with that, but
90s alternative rock.
Okay. Question two. Favorite artist in that genre?
Oh, super easy.
What's that?
Run the Jewels.
Okay.
All right.
I'm going with Led Zeppelin.
Okay. I will go with REM.
Okay. Question three. Favorite song by that artist in that genre?
Okay. I will go with Losing My Religion because it's probably my favorite song of all time. So that one was pretty easy. Losing My Religion.
My favorite Zeppelin song is a B-side called Hey, Hey, What Can I Do? That I love to distraction, even though it isn't necessarily the best Zeppelin song.
Yeah. Favorite.
I'll tell you.
So you've probably heard this song in numerous commercials. It was used to promote Black Panther quite a bit. Legend has it.
Step into the spotlight.
Yeah. Woo! Yeah. great fucking song. Great lyrics. Very, very clever and catchy. Classic, like distilled down, Run the Jewels. Good shit.
All right.
This
is going pretty quick. Well done, everybody.
Question four. Song by that artist you never want to hear again.
I gotta look up the name real quick, but I will tell you,
mine's gonna be controversial. I'm good. I never need to hear Immigrant Song again. I'm good on it. To be perfectly honest, Thor ruined it for me by playing it twice in the same movie. Like, they didn't even use a different part. They used the same part of the fucking song. I'm good on Immigrant Song. I don't need to hear any more frat boys shrieking it in the streets. I'm good. I love it. It's a great song. Good.
Twin Hype Back. Yep.
Okay.
It's got a fucking gross ass intro by some like guest artist. It's the song starts with like, girl, why don't you come over here and give me a tongue kiss on the mouth or some shit like that. And it's just so fucking off-putting, and I could just do without ever hearing that song ever again.
Tim, what's a song by REM you never want to hear again?
This is tough. I pretty much like everything, but I think probably Night Swimming. It's kind of dull, kind of basic. It's not a bad song, but it's like their best stuff is like driving rock stuff, except for Losing My Religion, so which is a maybe a bad example. But Night Swimming, I'm kind of like, meh, I don't need to hear it again.
And also it's been used a lot. I feel like the more a song gets used, the more I'm kind of like, I can always hear that in my head. I know that song, All right, and question five, what's a current genre, artist, or song that you're hooked on? Artist, genre, or song, what are you currently hooked on?
So I went through so we talked about the movie Booksmart some episodes ago.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And the soundtrack, Booksmart, you can't buy the soundtrack. They have a score you can download. But the soundtrack to the movie was produced and put together by Dan the Automator, who is the producer for like Gorillaz, Handsome Boy Modeling School, works with like Miho Itori, a bunch of people. He picked all the music for that movie, and some of it is so fucking good. And it features a lot of women artists, as you would expect for Booksmart. But like my four favorite songs from the movie, which I've been just listening to a lot, are Lake Helly 47, who is a woman who always performs in like a balaclava or like a bandana cut into a balaclava, has a song called Attitude. And Sophie Tucker has a song called Batshit, which is really great on that. Anderson Paak has a song called Come Down, which you've probably heard a little bit of before, maybe in a commercial. It features T.I. It's very fucking catchy. It's really good. And then Dominique Young Unique has a song called Throw It Down, which has a fucking great music video, which features a lot of people of various genders twerking.
Oh,
and
yeah.
So if you want to see some fucking twerk skills, it's by Dominique Young Unique. It's good shit.
All right. Tim, what about you? What are you jamming on?
You know, the song that has I'm kind of hooked on, it's actually a song that Nick recommended to me a couple of years ago when I was putting together one of our end of the year vilification tennis shows. It's Blood in the Cut by Kate Lay, which is a rockin' jam of a song. Just
awesome.
Really great song. Guitar riff, and there's a part where the thing just kills, where it gets really hard, and I love it. I jam out that a lot.
I am a basic bitch who is obsessed with WAP. I fucking love it. I love, like, there's like a video of some dudes dancing to it that is just like fucking sick.
Oh, yeah.
There's a video of ASL interpreters signing it, which is sick. Like, the lyrics are fucking amazing. It is empowering. I love it. I know it was a meme for a while, but I don't know, the more we listened to it on the radio, and that was fucking hilarious.
it's a third of a song.
How many words in that song are blanked
very
out?
Few
mostly
for,
particles
for example the hook. The intro hook of "There's some whores in this house" is just "There's some zin this house. There's some zin this house." Like, they just like the very first line of the song, they can't even do. Like, it just I love it. It's stupid, but I love
it. It's
awesome.
It's clever and filthy.
Yeah,
clever and filthy is an easy way to get Molly on board.
My the runner up is the song that is the She-Ra and the Princesses of Power theme song.
Oh yeah.
It's called Warriors, and that is also great. And I cannot wait until I can go running again after I recover from this shoulder surgery, so I can go run to it, because I'm gonna feel like a goddamn She-Ra character, and it's gonna be
awesome. All right. Well,
that's
those are five questions.
Yeah.
Thanks a lot. That was Joshua, right?
Joshua Corwin.
Thanks a lot, Joshua, for those five questions. Listeners, you can send us five questions, and my God, are we desperate for five questions. We only have one set of five questions left. If we run out of questions, we don't know what the fuck we're going to do. And
something.
It could be amazing.
But there will be a peaceful transition of power between the five questions and whatever comes next.
But do you really want that?
We all join religion.
You can vote for the five questions to stay in power by sending us five questions.
Mm-hmm.
Any five questions will do. They can be simple. They can be hard. They can have a theme. They don't have to have a theme. We don't care.
Mm-hmm.
Send it to fivequestions@geekswithoutgod.com or fivequestions@geekswithoutgod.com. Either one works. You can also, if you're feeling super generous, support us on Patreon. We really would appreciate that. We're working on a new website design now because we reached that level of Patreon support. You also get these episodes early. Somebody has already listened to this because they support us on Patreon. Somebody has watched a video of this episode that we are recording as we sit in our homes across the cities from one another because they are a Patreon supporter. That's all you got to do. But if you can't do that, maybe write us a review somewhere just for the sake of it. So
yeah, just write it down on a post-it note and throw it out the window.
That's right.
Just write it down somewhere.
Or on iTunes, Stitcher, wherever.
Key into your ex's car. Five stars. Key into your ex's car. GWG.
Tattoo it on the forehead of your enemy.
Yeah, nice. Paint it on your baby.
So whatever you choose to do for the holidays, we hope you manage to make the best of it. We hope you stay safe. We hope you don't get COVID because you did something that your family made you do that you didn't want to. Just be safe and advocate for yourself. And we will catch you the next time we do an episode, which will probably be next week. Bye.
Bye.
The worst thing about Thanksgiving is I don't even like turkey.
Authority, we don't accept divine superiority. We're geeks without God.
Until next time, you can find us blogging at geekswithoutgod.com. You can follow us on Twitter at geekswithoutgod, and you can even like us on Facebook.
We're geeks. We're geeks. We're geeks without God. We're geeks. We're geeks. We're geeks without God. We're geeks. Geeks without God.
They were so awful. Oh my God.